Hey everybody, this is Tim Shorts of Gothridge Manor, and I'm doing a Sunday afternoon podcast in the car, out running errands in the cold rain. I guess it's St. Patrick's Day too, so for all my fellow Irishmen out there, I don't know if Patrick was a saint, but I sure know he wasn't Irish, so there you go. And the little known thing is he was actually wore light blue, so the green came later on. Who knew, huh? And all the mythology that kind of goes with it. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today, is the mythology in the world. And I'm not talking about like the grand mythology, but more the small folklore mythologies that you lace within your, like, different cultures. But really, it'd be subculture, I guess, the level that I'm talking about. Like maybe a local village has some sort of myth. Let's just take, like Herne the Hunter in a way, even though he came from a greater Celtic type of myth. He kind of filtered down into each community in its own particular way, and how they honored him and how they portrayed him. Some of the great hunts, some of the horn, the antlers, and they would lord of the trees, some would call them. Others would decorate their trees with almost like I can't think of the other festival where they decorate the trees with ribbons and stuff, but usually they would find some sort of sacred tree in the forest and decorate it and give offerings on a certain day, so that usually it was Midsummer's Eve that they would do this, and they would offer gifts for a healthy harvest for the year, and to keep the wolves away. That was another, as much as Herne was revered in the good ways, he also had a kind of a bad side to him too, for those who would get in his way, like any good god. but like in my campaign, one of the kind of local myths that they follow is they hang people from the trees. So what they'll do especially in this Appalachia area that I have, it's a small section. None of the players have really interacted with it in depth. They've passed through it. Kind of, they murder hoboed one family, slaughtered, this one family. It's because they wouldn't do what the party said, and they were very disagreeable to them. And yeah, they ended up slaughtering the family. But it has kind of, I kind of give it an Appalachia feel, where their magic is very folk and very sticks and stones and primal type of magic. And it's not fast. It's not like they flare up, with fireballs or anything like that. Their magic is slow and more personal, that it attacks people. Do I have an exact system for it? No, not really. But, it's more of a role-playing aspect that I entered into the culture. And I guess if someone got more involved with it, or actually wanted to play someone from that area, I'd have to come up with one, which I could probably do. There's enough resources out there that probably would be a good, foundation for that kind of system, so that would kind of meld in with the magic systems that are already there, especially now with using Shadow Darks. And that, since that system is completely, I'm not saying going to say completely different, but it's very different from the way it is used in game compared to, the spell slots, or the Vancian type of magic. But also the mythology goes with there. They believe that they kind of keep away the evil spirits, is they believe that certain people get imbued with these evil spirits. And what they do is those that they are considered evil are hung and killed. They are hung at the crossroads, so that way they don't know how to return back to the homes or the houses that are of the people who found him guilty or hung him, so they can't, so their spirits can't go back and seek revenge. I mean, a revenant is a very real possibility in these cases. Or what they'll do is put them in the deep woods, but mainly they'll put them actually on the crossroads. This is also warns those who seek to do evil, that they have been warned, that they have been put on notice, that they might be joining the decorations on the trees soon enough. And plus it's pretty intimidating totem to go through the woods in that area. So it kind of keeps curious folks at away from that area. So it definitely has different folds to its purpose and meaning. And then just the simple ones, like in they're more customs, I guess, than I guess folklore, but there is some bits to it, like the lighting of the wall in my city of Scorn. There, or is it Eastgate? I can't remember which one of my cities, but what they do is they have a child who every night goes around. He becomes an honorary city guard for that night. So one child gets picked, and they get they eat with the city guards. They kind of dress up in a tabard kind of thing, and then when it comes time to light the torches around the wall to stand watch, the kid runs around and does all this lighting around there, and it's kind of this nice little ceremony. And then at the end of his lighting of the torches and everything, he is given brand new boots, which is no small thing, especially, for some of these kids who never probably had footwear that was fashionable. And they get given very nice boots at the end of this little custom that they do. And again, it's a kind of a twofold thing. It's a customary thing, but it also kind of keeps the people involved with the city guard. The city guards, they have a crew that just goes out there and lines these kids up and makes sure the boots fit and everything. And it makes it more, the kids will remember their night with the city guard. So they'll be, hopefully build relationship between the city guard and the other folks. And it's just kind of an interesting way to do this. Now, where did it come from? I haven't really fully developed it, but part of it is, I know that like back in the day during the wars and everything, they needed they needed the kids because they were faster, because the men were standing on the wall all day. So they used the kids to light the walls, and the kids being faster and a little bit more energy and not involved with standing watch all day. But as a reward and everything, since they were going to be doing that, they were given boots even back then. So it's sort of a thing that's carried on. That's kind of like the rough idea I have. I don't think I need to do too much more with it unless it gets more involved with it, but that's going to be kind of the rough idea that I've always had in my head with it. Trying to think of then another one for my Northmen, my Northmen guys who have the whole civilization that has ceased to exist. There's just remnants of what it was from a few hundred years ago. One of their customs where they were well worshippers. They believed wells were sacred. They they would throw offerings into the well, money, weapons, armor, food, just depending on the time of the year. And these wells became these sacred places. I mean, they had streams and different things that they would get fresh water out of, but the wells were their own holy ground. They were sacred. You didn't pollute them. They were sort of the gateway to the underworld. They were also believed to have like the nourishment of the land and everything. We believe that, like, you know, you had the underworld, but then before you hit the underworld, you actually had like the those water spirits and earth spirits that would be down there. There was a lot going on depending on the time of the year is who the offerings would go to. But these wells became sacred things. And in my campaign, some folks will find these wells. And oftentimes there'll be like hidden passages or some sort of secret temple within down at the bottom of the well that's kind of like off to the side or something. And the party threw a cursed dagger down into the well that polluted the well. And they were trying to do a good thing and get it out of the way. But what ended up happening is they kind of pissed off the spirits of the Comor Forest, which are their own entities kind of thing. And that was kind of interesting to watch the party kind of backtrack. And now it's become an inside joke about throwing a cursed weapon down a well. Don't throw a cursed weapon down the well. But yeah, I'm just kind of curious what kind of like different folklore, different customs, different like local superstitions or things that they do. Because I mean, sometimes they do things because it's more because they just do it. They forget the reasons. I still remember the story of it was on Babylon 5 when Londo Malari was telling the story about how this guard would stand in this one spot year after year at spring. He'd just stand there and he didn't know why, and the guard didn't know why. And then he went back to, you know, went back through history, and here like 100 years ago this princess found the first blossoming of a flower that came up through this crack in the, and let's just say the courtroom, but you know what I'm talking about, outside. And so she had someone stand guard over it so it wouldn't get crushed. And then it just became a thing. And year after year, a guard stood there, but they long had forgotten the reason. And I always just love that story. And it's something I try to bring to my campaign, something that I try to add that beautiful depth that really makes a campaign personal and interesting to the party. So, all right, guys, that's it. Hopefully you're doing well and you're playing some games. Tomorrow night, Joe and I, Monday night, we're going to be doing our live Monday night game, get together, the Tim and Joe show, and hopefully you'll join us. You know, our crowd kind of, it's funny, we seem to be getting more people later in the evening. So we start at 8 o'clock. So join us at 8. We definitely interact with the crowd heavily. And we do enjoy comments and get people involved. I think we even have a guest coming this Monday. Last week we were going to have Daniel Bishop, but he had some severe weather issues going on there. And then he's got some cool cons he's going to. So he games on Monday night. So we're probably going to catch up with him in April. So tomorrow night, I think we're going to have this, we're going to be talking about professional DMing if we can get the guest on in time and everything. So I've been kind of lax on getting a hold of him, but I'm hoping I can get a hold of him today and we can get that set up. So please join us tomorrow. That'd be March 18th at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. You can either catch it on Gothridge Manor YouTube or Joe the Lawyer on YouTube, where we simulcast it. So hopefully you'll join us. And hey, guys, take care. Roll better than me, and we'll talk soon.